Hello, and thank you all again for having me this week. So I received a beautiful question that I'll get into here in a moment. And yes, I'm going to think about the 31st. It all depends on what's going on with my wife and my kids, So if nothing's going on that evening, then I'll be here. But if my wife has some plans, then I'll take the evening off. So I'll let you know. So as always, I want to invite everyone. If you have a question that comes up throughout the week, please go ahead and send me an email. It's just my name, Craig Holiday at Gmail, and Holiday has two L's in it. You can also get a hold of me through my website, which is just my name, CraigHoliday.com, or on Facebook. You're welcome to send me a question or two. And so I have a pretty busy schedule, and I get a tremendous amount of emails each week, and it's hard to keep up with all of them. But if you bring one and you say you'd like me to address it during the Awakening Together satsang, I'd be happy to. So just put a little note on there, so I know who it's from. And if I need to write an email in response, if I have time, or if you'd like me to speak during the satsang. And of course, you're welcome to text a message right here on the message feed, and that's helpful too. So, like we normally start, I'd invite us all to become quiet, to settle in. I'm going to ask you this question. It's a question for you to sit with, for you to contemplate and inquire into, is what is my direct experience right now? Where is my attention? Is my attention in the forefront of my brain and my everyday consciousness? Or have I allowed my everyday consciousness to take the back seat? And so I invite you in joining me and allowing your thinking mind to take the back seat, for you to step into the fullness of what you are. I invite you to step into the fullness of the space of the third eye center and notice the absolute quietude, the absolute silence. Which is your very nature. Can you notice this quietude? Which is right here, right now. Can you give yourself permission to join me in surrendering more deeply, more fully, into this very dynamic, alive, spacious presence? By dynamic, I mean if you notice your direct experience, if you pay attention to it, who and what you are. It's not like some dead, empty space. It's vast, spacious, vast spaciousness, which is alive and luminous. It's giving birth to light, giving birth to radiance, So I invite you to notice this radiance, this dynamic presence, first in the space of your mind, but then of course be inclusive. What is the presence if we include your jaw and your throat, your neck, your shoulders, your chest? If we include the heart, the solar plexus, the belly, the upper back, mid back, and lower back, the pelvis, the legs, the feet, the arms, the hands. What is this presence that you are? What is it directly? And so as I ask these questions, I invite you not to search for an answer in your head, but to experience the answer. What is the experience of what you are? Beyond thought, beyond emotion. And even if you do have heavy thought, heavy emotion, I invite you to notice, what is it? What is it that's noticing? What is it that's here all the time in every moment? What is it that's here? And so from this space of opening to your presence, of settling into your presence, from this space of experiencing your vastness, your beauty, your luminous divine nature, I invite you to open your crown chakra and invite God into you. Invite grace into you. I invite you to allow yourself to be receptive. Receptive to that which is holy. That which is brilliant. I invite you to welcome a descent of grace into your very being. So we are experiencing the depth, the beauty, the absolute wholeness of our own divine nature. And simultaneously, I invite you to open your crown, open your hearts. Be receptive. Be receptive to God's love. Be receptive to the absolute experience of brilliance. Be receptive and open. And notice what's here. Notice how this presence of divinity has the power to stop thought, to lift any heaviness out of your nervous system. Has the power to heal any struggle. So your job is simply to be open, to be humble, to be childlike and receptive. Who here is willing to be childlike and receptive? Who's willing to bow before God and allow yourself to be filled with eternity? Great paradox here is as we bow before God, she makes us a king. She makes us a queen. She fills us with her eternal grace. All that's required is that we let go of our thinking and become humble. And directly experience the depth of our own nature and directly experience her grace flowing into us. And so will you join me in being humble, being open, being receptive? To the very Creator, to the one without a second. Notice what happens with your experience when you don't think but simply receive, when you don't judge but rather are open. Oftentimes our human mind tries to figure it out. tries to put God in a box. Tries to put religion or spirituality into a box. I encourage you to let go of all those movements of mind. And simply experience. Experience what's happening right here, right now. Can you open your hearts? And you open your whole, the entirety of your energetic body. Simply be receptive. As we open, as we are willing to receive, this division between us and God fades, between us and heaven fades, between us and each other fades. We begin to experience an almost otherworldly unity. Otherworldly in the sense that this unification is so deep, this communion is so deep. Does not even make sense to the mind. And so I invite you to join me in this depth of communion, this depth of unification. Between us and God, us and life. Can you give yourself fully to your experience? To this experience of truth. Utter unification. And so, as we begin to transition, I encourage you to stay with your direct experience. To notice. The Father and I are one. How the Father and you are one. Notice directly What does this mean? What is the direct experience of the Father and I are one? What is this direct experience? Now, someone, a good friend of mine, Mike, I haven't spoken with in a long time, but hello, Mike. It's so good to see you this evening. Good to feel your presence. Mike sent in a question about, and he was looking at the Awakening Together website, and I think he saw some pictures of Jesus, and he was basically asking me this question of, Craig, what do the words Christian and non-dual mean to you, or how do they go together? It was something along those lines, I think, was the gist of his question. And you know, when I first saw that question, I thought, oh, this would be a great time if I knew the Bible, if I could quote some scripture. And there's many people who've done that. They quote scripture and then they, you know, give their compelling argument of why this is the case or why it's not the case. But to be honest, throughout my life, I never had such a great connection with the Bible. But I've always had a great connection with Christ. And that may sound paradoxical or ironic. But my experience with Jesus, as I would call his name, and immediately he would arrive. And I did this many times when I was a child. How many times throughout my adult life I would call his name. And immediately he was there. And the way I experienced Christ, I experienced him as a flow of grace, a flow of holiness and divinity, of absolute love, absolute peace. And I feel him both outside of me as well as within me. And so this question of, well, what does this mean? You know, Christian or Christ and non-dual, how do these two relate? Was Jesus a non-dual master? I say absolutely. You know, part of what we are contemplating this evening, part of what we are meditating upon, is this quote from the Bible, "The Father and I are one." Now, too many people read the Bible literally. Or they read it, I'll say it this way, they read it in a judgmental way. Jesus said, "I," that meant him, and it meant none of us. There's all these words like, God gave his only begotten son. And I just don't, that word only doesn't make any sense to me. It makes no sense. God gave us all to this earth, to this realm. God's inviting us all to carry our cross. God is inviting us all to grow and to learn and to be conduits of grace. Jesus, he was a supreme example of love, of compassion, of strength, and humility. He was God and simultaneously bowed before God. Any great non-dual master on the planet does the same. The great Ramakrishna from India did the same. His student Vivekananda did the same. My teachers, all the ones except for the Buddhist ones, did the same. The Buddhist ones, they do it as well, but they just don't use the word God. Instead, they use the word truth. They bow before truth. But what is God if God is not truth? What is God if God is not love? People spend too much time thinking about self and no self, and how can there be a God, or how could there not be a God, and this and that. I invite us to let go of all these things. Let go of all the debates about the Bible and religions and dogma. And simply experience for yourself. I don't know what it was. No one told me that I had to love Jesus as a kid. I heard that thing at Sunday school, but no one looked directly into my eyes and said, "Craig, you better believe in Jesus or you'll go to hell." And if they did say such a thing, I wouldn't have believed them anyways. It would have just went right on by. Those kind of thoughts don't even make sense to me. But what I did have, which just naturally arose from my heart, was a deep and profound love and connection with Christ. I would call his name and he was there. I normally called him when times were desperate, when I was scared, when I felt alone. And immediately I felt the presence of God. And I felt the presence of God within my nature. And because of this, there's a profound connection, a profound trust, a profound feeling of I am loved. It feels both personal and impersonal. And this is what I love about the Master Jesus and what the Christian religion has brought. And by the Christian religion, I mean my experience of the Christian religion. It's not everyone's experience of the Christian religion. But it's this universal acceptance, an absolute love from God to you, an absolute embrace of one's humanity. And simultaneously, a vast and mysterious God, a God who is ineffable beyond explanation. Now, if we're a good Buddhist, we have the ineffable presence down. When I studied Tibetan Buddhism, we used to chant the Prajnaparamita chant, that the Great Mother, pregnant with all potential, ineffable, indescribable, indestructible. So yes, this is God oftentimes experiences vast, spacious emptiness beyond any understanding. But the great paradox in non-duality is our individuality. Our individuality, our experience of being human, our experience of being separate, and so the beautiful thing that Jesus brought forth was this sense of being an individual, and yet simultaneously one with God. And not many traditions speak about that. Most traditions, and especially the non-dual, focuses on the experience of no self. That there's nobody here. But of course there is somebody here. The somebody here just is not separate from. Not separate from God, not separate from life, not separate from each other. Jesus conveyed this in his presence. He conveyed this in the way he would meet with the sick and the downtrodden. He met, he sat with, he held, he loved the untouchables. When we're connected to ego, we simply want to get out of this world. We want to experience peace for our own sake. But the thing that Jesus embodied is he did what love does. He walked into pain. He walked into darkness. He walked into heartache. And he met it all with love. An absolute love. This is what a great non-dual master does, is they let go of ego. They walk toward pain with a big, brilliant, open heart because they know who and what they are. They're one with God and one with you and me. And so they naturally love. They can't help but to love. They don't just sit in a cave meditating for their life. They give themselves to service. The funny thing that happens, the further we walk this path, the more we realize this is a path of giving oneself fully. It's great freedom, great love in giving oneself fully. Great pain, great sadness and division comes when we try to protect ourselves or guard ourselves or stay away from that which is uncomfortable. The more we avoid pain, the more divided, the more gripped by fear we become. But the thing that Christ did is he walked into the darkness, shining the brilliance of his light. He said something once about his will and God's will had become one. My will and God's will have become one. In order for our will and God's will to become one, we must first be willing to embrace all the pain, sadness, anger, guilt, rage, difficulty within our own nature. For as long as there is 1 ounce, 1 bit of holding oneself back, of retracting oneself, as long as there is 1 bit of anything within you which judges something not as God, is outside of the realm of God, and God will never trust us. Our will never dissolve into God's will. But once we are willing to embrace everything with an absolute love, it is in that moment that our will and God's will becomes one. Because if we are afraid of pain, if we are afraid of difficulty and discomfort, well, then we stay a slave to ego. And when we're a slave to ego, we live in a different realm. We live with this division between us and God. And one of the things Christ did is he lived in a way where he was absolutely undivided. Even when it was absolutely difficult, and his human nature was crying and experiencing great pain and heartache, even in the moment he cried out to God, "Lord, why have you forsaken me?" And he immediately let go of that and stepped more deeply and fully into God's will. This is what's required. If we truly want to be awake, if we truly want to be free in this world, it's a complete and total surrender to God. And so, yes, Mike, this is a beautiful question. So thank you. This question of what does it mean? What does it mean to be Christian and non-dual? We must look at Jesus' actions. We must look at his life. And I encourage you just to look at the big picture. Don't look at the, oh, it said this thing or that thing in the Bible. And but just to look at his life. How did he live? How did he act? How did he interact in the world? And I think we can all look at this within our own nature. How are we acting? How are we showing up? Are we being a conduit of love, of grace, of happiness and joy? Or are we simply listening to the wants and desires of our own egoic nature? Are we being a repetition of the past? So yes, it's a beautiful question, Mike, so thank you. And so if anyone else has a question, you're welcome to bring one forward. And in the meantime, I invite us again to check into what is your direct experience? What are you noticing right now with your direct experience? So as I was speaking a minute ago, were you up in your head trying to figure out what I was saying? Were you questioning it and seeing if it was true according to your beliefs or your understanding? Or were you simply experiencing what's happening right now? One of my teachers, Hamid Ali from the Diamond Approach, oftentimes I listen to him speak, and he says the same thing over and over again. Sometimes he speaks about these very complicated levels, and he speaks about the turning of the wheel of the Dharma, and the first turning, the second turning, the third turning, the fourth turning. And he goes on and on. And I notice that my mind, it's hard for me to even pay attention to what he's saying. Yet there's this transmission that flows through him. And so my body is responding. My experience is opening. I'm learning about what he's speaking about, because the very thing that he's speaking about is arising within me. And so instead of listening to him with my head, with my thinking mind, I listen to him with my heart, with my energetic body. This is something I've done my whole life with any great teacher I've met. And hell, it didn't even have to be with any teacher. I listened to everyone with my body. I feel their energy. I feel their transmission. Even as we're seated here right now this evening, I feel your presence. I'm touched by your presence. I don't take any moment, waste any time thinking about, oh, what are they thinking about me? What should I say next? Or anything silly like that. But I experience your presence. If we truly want to be moved in this world, we will open to and experience the grace of each other. And the grace of God, the grace of this realm. And by grace, I mean the direct experience. Oftentimes, when a couple's married for a long time, well, geez, maybe even after 6 weeks or 6 months, we get an idea in our head of who the other person is. And we talk to the person, to our idea of the other person. We stop interacting with the experience of the other person. The funny thing is that in the beginning of our relationship, it's all about the experience of the other. You experience their divinity, you experience their beauty, you experience their absolute radiance. That's why we fall in love, because we see, we feel, we experience each other's absolute radiance, and it's intoxicating. It's an intoxicating way to live. But at some point, our ego takes over and says, okay, I know this person. I don't have time to experience their nature. I'm going to look at them as the old ball and chain or the, whatever it is. And it's funny, most couples, they don't see each other anymore. They don't hear each other anymore. We do this with our children as well. I have this 3-year-old and she's very rambunctious. And I can say this many times. She drives me absolutely berserk because her nature is totally different than my nature. I'm pretty calm and quiet, and she's about as loud as they come. And I notice that sometimes my mind gets a little irritated, with her screaming and her roughhousing her aggressiveness or whatever it is. And my mind starts to develop a thought that she shouldn't be the way she is. But when I think those thoughts, I experience pain. I experience suffering within my nature, and that suffering wakes me up. Wakes me up to the fact that I'm not experiencing her nature. When I open to her nature, I experience all this energy, a tremendous amount of energy and radiance and excitement and enthusiasm. And it's wonderful. There's no fight there. There's only love. And so it's interesting because she's a very good reminder for me to remain open with her, not to fall into habit. It breaks my heart when I see a couple sitting together. and they're sitting in loneliness because their hearts are not connected. And living in a place of having these definitions of each other. The definitions and judgments are interacting. Normally in a kind of a irritable or annoyed kind of way, judgmental kind of way. There's no way to live if you'd stop and look in anyone's eyes, even the eyes of your enemy, you will see God. You'll see God looking back at you. And boy, does life show us this time and time again, that this too is God. This too is God. Now, our ego, because it's afraid, because it's fear-based, it doesn't want to do this. It doesn't want to look deeply into the eyes, soul of another. It feels like it has to be guarded or defended or like it's too much to be this open. But see, this is what Christ did. This was his model. His transmission was being open. The other rabbis, they told him he was crazy for hanging out with, the prostitutes or the tax collector or the sick, the downtrodden. But see, this is the movement of love. Yes, this is true, Cindy. You stay with it in your heart. It's absolutely true. Your heart melts. But if we avoid pain, if we avoid difficulty, well, then our heart just gets more armor built around it, more heaviness. And eventually we feel more alone, more isolated in the world. But all of this, everything I'm speaking about, it comes through surrendering into the heart. We have to surrender that judgmental mind. We have to surrender the mind that wants to know or thinks it knows. I was speaking with a good friend the other day. And we spoke about surrendering the witness. In the beginning of the path, if we discover the witness, it's a huge step forward. That space of mindfulness where we can witness thoughts as they arise, where we witness truth and untruth, where we can witness ego or our true nature. But at some point, we even have to let go of the witness if we want to truly fall into a state of complete and utter non-division with life. The space of nirvana, as Buddha spoke about it, was beyond self-reflection. Beyond self-consciousness. For when there's self-reflection and self-consciousness within us, there's still a two. as a me and what I'm experiencing. But when it all truly falls away, when we're willing to surrender even the witness, we fall into complete and utter non-division with life. The Father and I are one. Non-division. But again, stepping into the witness in the beginning of the path, it's very helpful. We're able to begin to see clearly. We're able to see reality. So it's one thing to see reality. That's a great step forward. It's another thing to be reality. It's a further step along the way. But for those of you who that's just confusing, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You understand when you get there. Your job is only to be open, to be receptive, to be willing to look. Look within your own nature. Notice, where am I in alignment with God? Where am I in alignment with my highest? Do I have a shadow? Is it a really big shadow or a small shadow? Is there something here I need to let go of? Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there something I'm struggling with, which has become exhausting, and now it's time to let go? Is there someone in my life who needs more love? Being kind to myself and others? Or am I busy criticizing myself and others? And so this willingness to directly experience your own nature. That's the first step. Can I notice what it is that I am? Can I let go into this divinity that I am? This is the most important thing. If we don't wake up to the truth of what we are, it's hard to ever see clearly in this world. It's easy to become lost. And so I'll ask you this moment, what is the truth of your nature? What is your presence like? How big is the space of your consciousness? How brilliant and beautiful is your heart? How deep Deep is the well of your own being. How indestructible is your nature? Has not your very nature outlived every experience you've ever had? What is this that's here? That's outlived every experience you've ever had. What is this? How good and pure is your heart? And so I invite you all again to radically be aware, to radically experience your own presence. This Christmas season, can you give yourself the gift of falling in love with your own nature? Can you give yourself this gift? Of falling in love with your own nature. Can you allow Christ's love, Christ's heart, to wake up in you as you? Can you give yourself permission to sit in silence, to be the silence, to sit in this holy presence of love, which you are? It's Christmas season when everyone is running around chasing this thing or that thing, trying to look at the next new thing to buy, next gadget to have. Running to this Christmas party or that Christmas party. Give yourself the gift of looking up at the vast sky of heaven. And to realize this is me. That is me. I am that. This is me. That I am. Can you give yourself this gift of waking up to the brilliance of what you truly are? So thank you all for joining me this evening. I know it was quite slow and meditative this evening, but this is what began to flow through me. And this is the voice that I listen to. So thank you all so much for joining me. I also want to thank you all for all the donations you've sent in for the classes. It's greatly appreciated. Again, if anyone has any questions about that, you're welcome to visit my website, craigholiday.com. There's a PayPal link there. There's also my address if it's easier to mail a check to help support the teachings. I thank you all so much, and may peace be with you. May your hearts be blessed with light, with love, with God's absolute grace. So thank you all. May peace be with you. Good night.